I want to begin and personally say a happy Father's Day to all the dads tuning in. Dads, know this, whether your kids are young, young adults, or adults, you make a difference. Your influence and your voice matters, so keep on making a difference. Keep putting God first in your life and illustrate what that looks like. And as you do all this, just remember dad law number 42. It states this: when using a power drill, a dad is required to rev it at least twice to ensure it's working. And mostly just because it sounds really cool. And to everyone, here's the difference between a woman and a man purchasing shampoo. A woman will find one bottle for dry and damaged hair. A man will find shampoo 6-in-1 for hair, face, body, carpets, car, and dishes. It works every time. So dads, keep on being you and keep on growing in God. Know you're prayed for and know that I'm cheering you on. What I want to talk to you about today hinges on a question. What do you do when you find yourself in an unwanted situation? Really a situation you never thought you would be in. This season of COVID has really felt like that. Our lives have completely altered. Our vacations have been canceled. Our summer plans have shifted. For many, work has changed. School has pivoted. Public places have become plexiglass heavens. What do you do when you find yourself in an unwanted situation? When you just feel kind of like an exile inside of your own circumstance and you're wondering, how did this happen? How is this going to play out? You want to be able to move on, but you're kind of unsure how to do this. You know, I've learned sometimes we're in a place of discomfort because God is wanting us to hear from Him in ways we might not. Sometimes we find ourselves in these scenarios because He's wanting us to do something or learn something we might otherwise never learn. Even within this season, I kind of feel like God is just shouting, "Remember me," when everything feels tense and unsure. He's saying, "I'm the rock you can depend upon. I'm the unfailing one. I'm the faithful one in your life." And so what I want to do is I want to take you to a book in the Bible called Jeremiah. It's a self-titled book named after a guy who was a prophet, and that's just someone who spoke to people on behalf of God. So you can imagine his job was a pretty big deal. And what I want to do is I want to go to chapter 29 of Jeremiah, where there's this famous verse, and maybe you know it or maybe you've heard it before. It says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We love that, right? We should. Like, these are inspiring words. They're hope-giving and motivating words. They remind us of who God is and what He wants to do in our life. It's this promise that we can hang on to in our unwanted situations. But what I want to do is I want to back up from these words and hear what else God says through Jeremiah. Ultimately, I want to look at what God says that leads up to this amazing promise. Let me give you some context. He was speaking to the nation of Israel who were living a life none of them signed up for. In fact, they were hoping God would come and change things for them really soon. Israel found themselves in exile. They were stuck in a place called Babylon. Their hometown was Jerusalem. And just so you can kind of contextualize, it's like Edmonton is your hometown, but you've been exiled to Saskatoon or something like that, okay? Babylon represented everything that was the antithesis of Jerusalem. It had different customs, different values, different morals, different goals, different leadership. Everything seemed to go against their beliefs, and so they assumed God wanted them out of there. Their strategy and hope was to pray that God would come to the rescue. I kind of think that's a lot like us. I mean, whenever we find ourselves in those unwanted situations, we hope and pray God comes to the rescue. And I don't undermine that. That's a good thing. In fact, God does rescue each one of us. He rescues us from a life without purpose to one with purpose through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. He rescues us by forgiving our sins. He rescues us from death to life, both now and for eternity. And he did this by dying on the cross and rising again and by paying the price we couldn't pay for our salvation. But sometimes, in those unwanted situations, his rescue looks different than we ask or imagine. And the Israelites discovered this. They were so focused on getting out of Babylon that they never considered another option. What about you? In your unwanted situation, are you so focused on getting out of it that you fail to see what you could learn in it? So prior to this amazing promise, this is what we read. It says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And I'm going to stop right there. You see this and you go, is God implying this dead end, this terrible spot they found themselves in? Is he implying that this God-forsaken city of Babylon was his idea? It was his plan? Is he saying that sometimes our unwanted situation is actually his intention for us? Well, the answer is yes. But check out a comforting word in this sentence here. It's this word right here. It says carried. God says, I carried you into this. You know what that means? It means I've caught you in my arms. I'm here with you. You can depend upon me in this unbelievable, crazy time. I carried you into this. And if he carried you into this, he will carry you through this. And at some point, he will carry you out of this. In your unwanted situation, take note that you are in God's hands. And so instead of asking God, can you get me out of here? Let's ask God, what can I learn while I'm here? We actually have a hard time believing that anything good can occur in our unwanted moments. And listen to what comes next here. God says this, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. You know what God was doing here? He was telling the people to thrive in their season of exile. Not to wither, not to decline, not to put their life on hold. And check out the words that he uses here. He says build, okay? He says plant. He says marry and have, you know, sons and daughters. He says increase, do not decrease. You see what's happening here? This is all thriving language. That is saying, keep on going, keep on living and doing what you would do if you were in Jerusalem. Don't stop your life just because you feel everything is different than you originally hoped for. Keep moving forward. Keep pushing through. Keep doing the things that bring you life, even though you're in exile. Don't just sit in the waiting room. This is a season where you need to focus your eyes on the things you are called to do, on the things you are made to do, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how much lack of motivation you may have in your season of exile. Man, don't tap out. Keep moving forward. God was saying, I brought you here so that you can learn how to thrive in the middle of difficulty. In the place you never wanted to be, in that unwanted situation, friend, hear me out. God is saying, don't shut down. Don't go on autopilot. Don't tap out. Do what brings life. Move forward. Increase, do not decrease. Don't allow your detour to become your dead end. And I don't know who this is speaking to, but I believe it's speaking to someone today. Maybe you've given up. You've resorted to nothing less than adequate. You've convinced yourself that your situation is too overwhelming, that you're not even trying anymore. And I just want to breathe life. I want to breathe encouragement. I want to speak hope to you. God is there with you. He's saying, I'm carrying you. Go and thrive. Go and do the things that bring you life. Increase. Do not decrease. Don't allow your detour to become your dead end. He's cheering you on. He's saying, I stick closer than a brother. I'm with you. Don't settle. Thrive. And yeah, I get it, man. This takes work. It takes intentionality, discipline. It takes effort. It means letting your confidence in God increase. It means believing that he does all things for the good of those who love and trust him. Don't shrink away from him because of where you may be at. Don't allow bitterness to rule your heart. Don't give in to negativity. Don't stop doing life. And notice that God was intentional of speaking next language. And I think it's because he knows that our inclination in unwanted situations is to sit back and do nothing. Our inclination is to forfeit the future. So be encouraged by that. However, God doesn't stop there. I mean, he could have, but he goes on, and I just love the contrast he presents. So first he's saying, in your unwanted situation, keep your eyes on what I've called you to do, so thrive. And then he says, but I also want you to get your eyes off of yourself and look at others. This is what we read. He says this. So it starts off, also, so also, which just means in addition to, or here's another thing you need to know, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God was saying, in your unwanted situation, take your eyes off of yourself and think about others. Pray for others. So why would he suggest this? You know, when we have the courage and ability to look beyond ourselves, we recognize that we can have impact on others. Jesus, in fact, said the most important thing in life is to love God and to love others, because he knew that through loving others, a crucial change happens in our life and with our own perspective. And here's the key in all of this. God said, if the city prospers, you too will prosper. Meaning, we are completely changed from the inside out as we focus on others around us. As others are changed, we too are changed. And yeah, I get it. This is tough to do. Take our eyes off of our situation? That's difficult. But as we begin to pray for others, we change. We start to develop a heart for others. And here's the truth. You won't care about people around you if you don't start praying for people around you. And according to God, this produces what we need inside of us during our unwanted situation. In fact, that's actually a leadership principle. Lift others up, make others into heroes, and you yourself will be changed. God reminded Israel, don't just stay focused on yourself. In this season of COVID, it's a perfect time for this, to focus on others. It's kind of like a guy named Wayne Fournier. He's the mayor of a small town in Washington called Tenino. Population, 1,884. They just had a baby, I swear, but it's a really small town. And he was feeling the effects of COVID on a personal level, but noticed during this pandemic how it raked the local businesses. The food bank line in that town was super long, and the main downtown area looked abandoned. And then it hit him. Why don't we just start our own currency? Kind of a crazy idea, but the plan came together pretty fast. He would set aside $10,000 to give out to the low-income residents hurt by the pandemic. But instead of using the federal dollars allotted, he would print the money on thin sheets of wood designed exclusively for use in Tenino. And so that's what he did. And it kind of works like this. Residents below the poverty line can apply to receive the money, and once approved, they can pick up their wooden notes worth $25 each, and then each resident can get up to 12 notes a month, so that's like $300, and the money was designed for essentials such as food, gas, and daycare. And almost every business in town accepts the wooden notes, and twice a month, they can submit redemption requests to the town to turn the notes into cash. So why print the money on wood and not just give the residents $300 worth of federal dollars? Simple. It's creating its own local currency. And by doing this, Tenino keeps the money in the community and helps their own. As Fournier said, Amazon will not be accepting wooden dollars. Now here's a guy who took his eyes off his own situation and he had others around him prosper. Here's a guy with a heart for his community. And I want to remind you, Hope City, we are a church that is for Edmonton. And that's just not a cute saying or a mural we have in the lobby of our Millwoods campus. We are for Edmonton. The reality is most people know what Christians are against. We want them to know what we are for. We are for people because God is for people. We are for our city because God is for our city. We are for Edmonton because God is for Edmonton. And this becomes a challenge to immerse ourselves in our city, to say we want to bring hope to the city. God says, seek the peace and prosperity of Edmonton. Pray for it, because if it succeeds, you too will succeed. In other words, if it's good for them, it's going to be good for you. God has a great plan for Edmonton, and we're one of the churches that he wants to use in that plan. We bring hope, and he's calling, he's commissioned, he's mandated us to not just be a church unto ourselves, but to be a church for our city, to say we want to make Edmonton a place where God is made known. We want people to know the peace that Jesus brings, and we want to bring that into broken environments. Why? Because we know that evil is not stronger than good, that darkness is not stronger than light, that the way things appear aren't how they should be or how they should stay. And COVID, it's not going to hold us back. It's not going to keep us down or alter our mission. If we truly believe that following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make, we're going to want to exemplify the difference that decision has made for each and every single one of us. I mean, that's why later this summer, we're launching yet another campus in the Kingsway area. This isn't about us. It's never about us. It's about having a heart for people who are far from God, for people who need Jesus. See, when we take our eyes off ourselves and we look to others, we begin to pray for them. And there's a spiritual transaction that occurs inside of our own lives that causes us to prosper. What does God say? Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That word prosper here, I want to highlight that for a moment. It was originally written in Hebrew, and it doesn't mean, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous. It actually is derived from this word here, derived from the word peace. And don't miss this. In the middle of our unwanted situation, what's the biggest cry of our heart? It's peace. We want that calming assurance that God is in control and that we can trust him. And then what does God promise if we take our eyes off ourselves and focus on others? He promises peace, a calmness. He promises welfare, a soundness of mind. And it's in this upside-down approach that we actually find the very thing we need in our unwanted situation by focusing on others. I want to highlight six words in this verse here for a moment. God says this, pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for it. Friends, this is crucial. We can never take our eyes off ourselves and put them on others if we aren't praying for them. Prayer is the catalyst to being others' focus. Prayer is the key to unlocking peace in our own hearts. Because when we pray for something, our passion and love for that something always increases. And once it increases, our desire to do something also increases. But it has to start with the baseline heart change of prayer. We actually see this in a guy called Nehemiah. He's another prophet in the Bible, and he heard one time about his hometown being totally in ruins. It was demolished, and this is what he wrote, actually, after he discovered that. He said, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted, and there it is, prayed before the God of heaven. His heart broke, and he spent a considerable amount of time in prayer. But after prayer, Nehemiah took action. He moved from praying for the situation to creating the solution to the situation. Praying compels our heart towards action. Hope City, I want to encourage you, pray for Edmonton. Why? Because it will always compel your heart towards action. Pray for our city. Pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your workplace. Pray for the communities where our church and campuses are located. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for impact. Pray that people will see us as a church that is for them. So here's a challenge I have for you. I'm asking you this week to do something. It's pretty easy, but I believe if all of us do this, it'll have massive implications. So if you're someone who is still continuing to commute to work, I'm going to ask you, as you're driving, pray for our city. So as you pass neighborhoods, businesses, other things, pray for them. If you're at home, I'm going to ask you to take a walk and pray for your neighborhood. We're asking God to do something that only He can do. And you know what? This is actually the heart of God. True Christianity is loving God first, then loving our neighbor. It's identifying with the people where God has placed us, because their hurts are our hurts. Their pain is our pain. Their successes are our successes. If they prosper, we prosper. So what do you do when you find yourself in an unwanted situation? You thrive in your circumstance and you take your eyes off of yourself by praying for others. Our world, our city is in a place no one expected. What greater way to shine a light during this time than to thrive in the midst of this season and to put others first? It's then we are changed. It's then we find the peace and confidence in God that we're searching for. It's then we truly understand these words. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Let me pray for you. God, I love this passage and I love the challenge that you give us here. And I first just want to pray for that person who's walking through an unwanted situation. I pray that this detour does not deflate them. I pray that this does not become their dead end, but they may understand that you are carrying them, God. You are with them, and they are meant to thrive even in the midst of this circumstance. And so I pray for hope. I pray for life. I pray for encouragement. I pray that they understand that they can move forward and through this, and there are things that you're asking them to learn, and so may they reach out to you. May they depend upon you. May they trust you. And God, I pray for all of us that you give us the ability to continually look beyond ourselves and pray for those around us. Pray for Edmonton, man. I stop right now and pray for our city. I pray for our neighborhoods. I pray for our workplaces. God, draw people to you. May souls be saved. May individuals come to know you, Jesus, on a regular basis. Use our people wherever you've placed them, God, to be salt and light. May they make a difference. May they just say, "Jesus lives in me, and I'm ready to show my city what he's done in my life." And so, God, I pray that you give us a burden for that. And I ask, God, that we may just continually have that desire to pray for those around us. And may you do something as a result of these prayers. I ask that, God, in your name. You know, maybe you're tuning in and you don't know Jesus personally. I prayed for you. Know that. And part of getting to know Jesus personally, maybe you want to, maybe you're saying, "I'm ready to make that decision." Part of it is just asking him to come into your life and really saying a prayer that starts the journey with him. And I say this a lot, it's not a magical prayer, it's just a prayer of ascent that really helps you put into words what it means to come and follow Jesus and know Jesus and surrender your life to him. And so if that's you here today, I'm going to ask you to pray along with me, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I just ask you into my life today. From this day forward, I want to pattern my life after yours, and I want to say thank you for paying the ultimate sacrifice of going to the cross, of dying for my sins, of offering me forgiveness, of raising again, of offering me life now and for eternity. And I just pray that that truth and that reality may be so real to me today. And so I just invite you in and I say, I want to pattern my life after yours. And from this day forward, help me to know you better and greater and more. And God, I pray for every individual, for every couple, and for every family that's tuned in. I pray strength, wisdom, guidance, and blessing over them. I ask that as they go into this week, no matter what circumstance that they are in, that they may know that you are there, that you are walking with them, and that they can thrive in that. And God, may we be people who pray for our city to see massive change and massive implications, because there's thousands of people saying, God, do something. And so I ask for that in every household and in every life. And I thank you for them, and I pray blessing upon them in Christ's name. Again, we remember our dads, go before them, and may they just thrive in their role as fathers, in the role of the children that you've given them. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you did pray that prayer of surrendering your life to Christ today, I'm going to ask you to text the word life to 555-888. We'd love to get a digital booklet inside of your hands that talks a little bit more about what it means to know and follow Jesus. It also gives you an opportunity to connect with one of our pastors on staff. Our chat host will also put a link up for this, and you can engage with the same booklet and in a pastoral connection if you so desire. Hope City, love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Go and make a difference this week. God bless.